Peace, love, and light, everybody. Minds Like Minds podcast. I'm your host, RL Malpica. And today I'm super excited to have a conversation with a fellow light worker, light empowerment coach, an author, and what she calls a bit of a galactic kite surfer, which I definitely have to get into with her about that. Brigitta Visser, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fantastic. Cannot complain at all, but very, very excited to talk a lot. I mean, you got a lot going on currently. Your story is tremendous. And I'm just really excited to share it with everybody. So I'm really excited. So hope you feel the energy because it's about to get real in here. Yes, and you're joining us all the way from the UK. So how's the UK life right now? How's society over there right now?
Oh, you're asking me a question. Well, I avoid London. Avoid London like the plague because there's so much gunk that has come to the surface right now. For me, it's like waiting in this toxicity. And every time I go into London, honestly, when I get back, I am just physically ill because the energy is so dense right now. And that's only because so much has changed in the last few months.
Right.
As I call it, with the old guard changing, right? So all that negativity is servicing and has to be healed and alchemized. And so London for me is, if I have to go in for work, I will.
Right.
And I do try to protect myself, but it is intense. It is very intense. I'm always happy to be back home.
That's good. That's good. Now I can totally relate. I'm in the Dallas area. And I can't really compare Dallas to London because, you know, London is kind of like New York, the New York of England, you know, but I do everything I can to stay out of the city. Like I'm in the outskirts. I'm like trying to be as off the grid as possible. You know what I mean?
I totally hear you. I hear you. Yep.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you've got a lot of things going on. First and foremost, you recently released your book, Becoming Authentically Me, right? So I do want to dive into that a little bit, but first, you know, I want my listeners and viewers to know how you got to this point. So kind of tell us your story. Like, how did you figure out you had these gifts to connect? And you know, when did you start on your journey? And you know, kind of like, yeah, how did you get to the present?
Wow, that was, I mean, you know, I'll start with prior to being born, right? Because I compare it, I always say it's like you have a travel itinerary. You choose a travel itinerary.
Right.
Or you can say you've got a course brochure, right? And you choose your courses and you think, oh, great, this is going to be great, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when you incarnate, you kind of forget because you get whacked on the head, right? And you come in cold turkey and it's like, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. Well, I didn't know my teacher was going to be this bad, right? So, you know, are my experiences, but I mean, all your experiences are teachers. And so I signed up for, I must have been off my head, honestly, because I signed up for a lot of trauma in my life. I chose that.
Yeah.
So for me, that started in my childhood with the abuse, right? I was abused by a friend of the family. And back in the 80s, life was very different.
Yeah.
You know, people weren't as open. So I bottled it up inside. And my mom and dad never knew until, you know, I was like 19. And I told my mom after we watched an episode on Oprah Winfrey. And she said to me, you know, I'm glad that neither of you were ever abused. And I remained quiet. And then she started pushing. But I mean, in the interim, of course, because I didn't heal up, I got bullied at school because I grew up in Singapore, Malaysia. And nearly at the age of 14, we went back. I loved Singapore, Malaysia, completely different culture, lovely people. Can't beat the weather. But so at nearly at the age of 14, I lost my dad. He suffered cardiac arrest, so he was 44. So that dented my confidence. And then I got bullied in high school in Holland because I was super skinny, right? I was very good, RL, at throwing my food out. Very good at it. I became a pro at that throughout my life. And so that didn't help my, you know, my confidence dented even further. And I think the issue is that when we suffer from trauma and we don't heal up, right? We don't alchemize our experiences and refuse to, you know, look within ourselves. One bit of trauma creates another bit of trauma and that keeps going, right? And I soldiered on, and then my mom put me on a modeling course, and that did not bode well for me because I was carrying the world of the, you know, the weight of the world on my shoulders. And, you know, I was walking like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
And, you know, even when I was at school, I saw a guy in the corridor, that's how bad it was. I would take another route to the classroom. That's how bad it was. And, you know, I suffered internally a lot. But when my mom put me on this course and a hairdresser picked me out of the out of a whole bunch of models, so to speak, I had really long hair.
Yeah.
And chopped it off into a pixie cut. And I felt so ugly. Oh, my goodness. I was crying. I didn't show, but so, you know, everything just accumulated. And then I got into even in the modeling industry, because I don't think I was a model full time. No way. I was too naive. It was a kettle market. It was a hardcore world, right?
Right, and right,
I didn't have thick skin, nor was I very superficial. It is a very superficial world because it's all like skin deep. It's on the surface. But I have so much abuse going on there as well. And even in that industry, I got abused. But I suffered, well, my first relationship that I had, I was 21 and a half. And
21 and a half, okay.
21 and a half. I was a late bloomer with everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all my relationships were very toxic, but I chose these, you know.
Kind of explain that to people though, like, because there might be some listeners who, because everybody's at a different spot in their journey.
Absolutely.
What do you mean by you chose that?
Oh, I chose them for the growth of my own soul, right? To expand my awareness and not to walk around with blinkers, because many people stay in toxic relationships. So I was abused verbally, mentally, not so much physically. I wasn't beaten up or anything. It was tough because I was a people pleaser, right?
Yeah.
And I was wired the wrong way. And you guys are going to laugh at this because the first guy that I met, right? It was like, well, I wasn't sure about him. But you know what the problem was? I went out with him and then he kissed me and I was like, oh, sugar, man, I can't get out of this now.
Yeah.
That's you're in, you're stuck. Yeah, you're stuck. So that was really, really hard. And I look back now and I think I should have gotten out a lot sooner, but I stuck around. And what happens is people say, yeah, but this person is hurting me. No, actually, what you're doing is you're hurting yourself by remaining in a relationship that is not serving you.
Right.
Every relationship is a beautiful reflection to your soul, right? That is requesting healing. And so many times when we are in relationships that are toxic for us, everyone is a teacher, right? And we learn something from everyone.
For sure.
So when we are, I suffered a lot of dis-ease within myself. Yeah, I was a pro at starving myself because that is what I could control.
Yep.
And I could also control the fact that wherever you put me in the world, I was a chameleon because I would work, because that's the way I had programmed myself. You know, I was a survivor. And so many people will remain in that victimhood. And I think in a way, I also remain in that victimhood because I was just, I was a sadomasochist, you know, and I would stay with them for quite a while until I saw the light. And it was, and still, even though they had mentally abused me, right, verbally abused me, it was still tough to let go, because I didn't think I deserved any better at that time. And as I said, I didn't heal my trauma. I just carried it with me. I had this big bag of luggage that I carried.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, people in toxic relationships, you know, for the majority of the time, like if they don't understand their self-worth, they don't understand their value, then they don't think there's really anything else out there. You know, they just think that, hey, this is what it is. And they don't, they can't see those red flags. They can't see these things that are happening. So even though they're experiencing them, they think that's literally a part of their life. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a normal part of life. And they can't foresee that, you know what, there might be somebody out there that's better, that can actually, you know, treat me the way I need to be treated, you know, and that just comes back down to self-worth ultimately.
Absolutely. And, you know, when my stepdad died in 2000, I had a short stint with drugs, but it was, I can say I had the wrong kind of friends, but, you know, ultimately I chose to take drugs. It was cocaine, and it was, do you know what? I'm thinking of the chemical term, MDMA. It's ecstasy. Mm-hmm. And I took quite a few one night, and I could have killed myself because I had a blackout. And I just didn't have anybody to turn to. Like, everybody always expected me to be this happy persona. Right. And that's been throughout my life. And it's like, you know, Brigitte was always the happy one. And so they would listen to me for like 1 minute, because I was very close to my stepdad, and I helped my mom out every single weekend because he suffered from cancer, throat cancer. Mm-hmm. And I just did that because, you know, my mom needed the support. But then when he crossed over and I still supported my mom, I couldn't find any support. And so I kind of crashed and burned for like 3 months, and then I went cold turkey after that. Because I knew this wasn't, you know, the right way. Right. But I mean, when it comes to relationships, they got worse over time, because I mean, I met someone that was a crack addict. Didn't even know it. And he lived with me, and it was scary for me, because he went in bed, it was in Holland, and he landed in bed with the Crips in Holland. And in the end, I mean, it was scary for me to see someone with crack hands, right? And off his head, literally, like he was going to die. And I tried to help him out as much as possible. But here's the thing, right? When you try and help someone out, you're broken. The other person is broken, right? You're two broken birds, and you're trying to fix one another. I was trying to fix someone. And you cannot enable them, because in a way you're enabling them, because you're trying to save them, right? You're trying to save them from themselves. But sometimes they need to hit the bottom of that rock, as I always call it, instead of, you know, a rock bottom. But, you know, what you're doing is you are stumping their growth.
Right.
And yeah, and you're not supposed to do that.
And a lot of times people do it to like bring like a sense of worth to their self. If they're broken, let me help this person, and it'll make me feel like I have worth, instead of organically, you know, growing that worth within yourself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it got so bad that he had stolen a chopper bag, he pawned so much stuff, but then they took him the Crips had him for ransom, and they did. And I mean, eventually I helped the police out. And they found him, and then they deported him back to the US. And the leader of the Crips is now on trial in Holland, because it took many, many years to garner a lot of evidence. It was one of the biggest cases they've seen. But he threatened me, and he said, if I ever find you, I'm going to kill you.
Wow.
And my mom had taken me out of Holland in the space of a few days, and I had to start again. That was actually the start of my healing journey, because because I took a whole box of ibuprofens or aspirins, it's called something different here. And I was just kind of like done. It was a very lame attempt because the next day I woke up and I didn't have a headache anymore. And then I thought to myself, you know, I need to take responsibility for my life and I need to start healing up. And so I went to see a counselor, and a normal counselor, right? Mm-hmm. And the counselor said to me, oh, you know what? You're going to be fine. You're strong enough. And I thought, what the heck is this? What to do with that?
Right,
so
right.
That didn't help me. And so then I started researching, and that's how I rolled into Reiki. And Reiki was the start for me. So, and then I commenced studying Reiki levels 1 and level 2, right? And
right.
Which took 1.5 years. And I studied many other healing modalities, such as EFT. I loved the emotional freedom technique because you tap the emotions out of your system, right? Mm-hmm. Because of your energy. And people often forget, well, it's such a simple technique. Yes, but your energy and everything, all your emotions are energy in motion, right? Because that's how simple healing actually is. But I also studied relaxation therapy, meridian therapy, psychotherapy, which is I love Emil Coué, who is the father of autosuggestions. He was, I'm not sure if you've heard of him.
Mm-mm.
He was a French chemist in the last century, and he found out that instead of giving his patients the real medicine, he gave them placebo medicines and gave them autosuggestions, and they got better, right? Because everything's in the mind. The mind is the most powerful tool we have. And people don't always understand that what they think they create, because that's how powerful you are, right? You're a divine alchemist.
Yes. 100%.
I studied many other healing modalities, even holistic nutrition, which helped me out a lot. it was really a journey of self-healing and self-discovery.
Wow. And that's a lot. So it started with Reiki, and then obviously you went experiencing the other modalities, learning those and whatnot, to where you are now, which you just released your book, which is Becoming Authentically Me. Now there's so many different things to talk about within this book. So I just wanted to bring a few of them up and just kind of talk about them. Anyone online, if you have any questions about any of this, feel free to ask away as well. We got a few people online watching right now. But when you talk about conscious shift and the ascension process, kind of let everyone know what you mean by that. Because when people hear conscious, like that can go in so many different ways, right? But a conscious shift and ascension process, give us your explanation of that.
It's so funny. Before I popped online, 10 minutes, they were up there. My guys were like, Vita, you got to talk about the simulation. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's probably that's awesome. The easiest way to put it, right?
That's awesome. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so when we talk about the shift in consciousness and the ascension process, it's like you have to see life as being in what you call an immersed simulation, right? So you get to experience which you get to experience through the human senses. And I always say life is a bit like a platform game. Like the Mario Brothers or Donkey Kong, right?
Right, yeah.
So you're born and you play this level, this experience, and you get really excited and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm nearly there. I'm going to beat this level. And then you falter. And then you take a take two and a take three until you finish that level, right? And you've experienced that experience, so to speak. And then you hop on to the next level. And that's what I call that shifting consciousness, because you've understood the experience and you're like, you know, it's okay. But the key is to always let go, right?
Yes.
Because it's so important that if you don't heal yourself, you can't love yourself, correct?
No.
And if you can't love yourself, how can you ever heal yourself? And how can you ever become that wholesome, beautiful person
that you are underneath all these created labels, yeah, on all these created layers, so to speak. And you know, when you have, when you play this video game, right, do you ever see a character sitting there forlorn forever, say, staying in that victimhood? No, the character gets up again, right? Yeah, because you play.
That character's got motivation. He's ready to finish. Yes, or she.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because if you don't master your experiences, right, they become the master of you and you become a slave to them.
Yep, yep.
It's really simple. And it's, you have to take responsibility. You have to take accountability for everything that you go through. And you can say, yeah, but it's this person's fault. It did, you know, they did this to me. And I'm like, well, at the end of the day, when you look in the mirror, who do you see? Right? You're the culprit.
Yep.
Right? So take responsibility for your life. Because if you do not take that responsibility or that accountability, you're the one that's going to suffer from that dis-ease within yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's one of the things where people always say, but yeah, but I'm sick or I'm ill. And there's one, and I talk a lot about being ill.
Yeah. But
ill actually means, as Lord Sanat Kumara says, it means being imbalanced of love and light. That's what it is, because that's actually what you are. You're imbalanced of love and light. So how are you going to get back to, you know, feeling better within yourself? And that is walking that journey back inward, right? Doing the shadow work, healing the trauma within, and commencing to live a better life.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I mean, wow. Yep. I'm 100% in on everything you just said. Just to say that, because, you know, responsibility and accountability, you know, like, look, everything that happens to us, it's external. It's external factors, right? Ultimately, they only impact you if you allow them to impact you. Right. You talked about those relationships that you were in, those three really bad relationships. What's the common denominator in all three of those relationships?
Well, there was another one, which is how I started to channel. But it's all of them. A common denominator was that I was a people pleaser. I wondered what was best for them, what was best for me, because, you know, I was number 100. Right. They were number one, so to speak. And I really wanted to fix them. I really wanted to make life better for them. But that was me deflecting my own trauma, mm-hmm. right? Rather than reflecting. That is something that I really needed to learn. And especially with the last relationship that I had in St. Petersburg with someone who, and this is back in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, you know, this was completely different. This person was very needy. So it was the other way around, was very needy, moved two doors down from me from an hour away, keys to my home, refused to return the keys. You know, and I tried to help him because his mom had died. He had a reckless and he was just, he couldn't get out of the funk that he was in, right?
Right.
And you know, I paid his bills. I helped him find jobs because that's the way I've always been.
Yeah.
See, and I was helping them too much. And I didn't do myself any favors. And he was always very possessive, wanting to know where I was. And I didn't like that. So he kind of isolated me socially. And I was working like a dog. You know, I always worked like a dog. It was very, very tough because it made me hit rock bottom again. I moved home. I sold my home to get away from him.
Wow.
And then I bought another home. So that's how bad it was. And it was me running in a way, but it got so bad because I was so exasperated. I would lie on the floor. I would scream at spirit, you know, and cry my eyes out. And eventually, when it got so bad, I really asked them, I said, I really need help. I really want to get better. And it came in the form of a little breadcrumb called Kumbo. My sister told me about it when I was in touch with her. And that really helped me. So I'm not sure if you know what Kumbo is.
I don't.
So Kumbo is... it's shamanic healing, right?
Okay.
So it's South America. And it's ancient. It's an ancient form of healing.
Did you say combo or compo?
No, combo.
With the B.
It's a, yeah, B.
Okay, okay, okay.
So it's this little croaking frog, the monkey tree frog, that roams around in the Amazon, you know, in the Amazon forest. And what these shamans do is they scrape the poison from the frog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry, none of the frogs are killed. They're fine. So, but what the shaman does is, I mean, they can do it on the arm or the leg. They burn like 4 points on your arm, right? So that the top layer of your skin is exposed. And then they put the poison of the monkey tree frog on your skin. And when I went in, when I do healing, right?
Or right.
I don't expect anything. So I don't like to do a lot of research. Just get, I just want to have a license and a licensed practitioner.
Sure.
And oh my goodness, I had this big yellow bucket beside me and I was throwing up. I was purging so badly. And I'm telling you,
wow.
My ego was fighting me so hard. Like, you know, it was like this carpet door, like, no, no, this is the way you are. This is the way you're programmed. This is the way you're conditioned. You are not going to change. So I was running up and down the toilet and the shaman was helping me because it comes out both ways, right?
Right, of course.
And it's a very physical form of healing, unlike, you know, spiritual healing or Reiki.
Right.
And
so like a detox, like a spiritual detox.
Yeah, absolutely. And and so it took me 4 hours the first time. But from that point on, I had so much clarity because I was just so clear-headed after that.
Yeah.
And I went two more times. I went two more times and it was much better, much better. And I started to make a bucket list. And it's one of the things, like when my stepdad died in 2000, I always promised I would run for cancer, right?
Yeah.
And it remained a figment of my imagination for 16 years. I was running in my head.
Right.
And so I finally started doing that. And I had a fear of flying of heights. So I went skydiving, you know, and things like that. But
there you go. Attacking your fears. Yes. Yeah, nice.
Absolutely. And I started to clear out a lot of stuff. And then spirit kicked me out to a fair. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to this fair. And they're like, Brigitte, you're going to go, right? It was very forceful, very gentle, but forceful.
Right.
And that is where I met my former mentor, Alania Starhawk. And she walked me through the Akashic Hall of Records, you know, going through past lives, many of my past lives. And it was one of the reasons I understood, you know, why sometimes, as you will know, you come across people and you think, you know, I've met this person before.
Right.
And that's because
that connection.
You have that connection. And sometimes you may have had a rotten relationship with that person in the past, but sometimes it may have been incredible. You know, we all play different roles,
right?
And
there's so villains and heroes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it was very, very healing for me because with the ex in Florida, he had poisoned me in a former life in the Middle Ages, and
wow.
One of the reasons I had suffered immense problems with my stomach, and I remember losing so much weight. I was skin over bones. I couldn't even eat anything. I couldn't even have a cup of tea. It would come back out, even though I kept working. But it's one of these things when you are with someone in a relationship, right? Things bubble to the surface, and
right.
That's okay because it's requesting healing. So let it come out and, you know, and heal up. But the beauty about Akashic Record healing is that the energy, once you alchemize it, the energy of both people changes. That's how powerful it is. And, you know, through her, I learned how to channel. And it was only through an exercise that she had done, right? And she explained that when I was in a workshop with her.
Right, right.
With a big group where she took a pen and pad and she said to spirit, you know, I'm ready to receive. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try and do that exercise. Because everyone in that group, when they went into meditation, right, they saw the ascended master, they got messages, they saw colors, and I saw Jack, you know what, nada.
Right.
So I was very upset, really upset.
What the hell's going on? Everybody else seeing shit but me?
Yeah, I know. Damn. And so that exercise stuck in my head, and I did it that night. And because I think my mind was so fried, I was like, you know what? I'm done. I want to do this. And that's how I started to channel. It just
flowed. Yeah, you talk about in your book, channeling messages from, you know, like you said, many masters, Saint Germain, collective light beings, archangels, whatnot. What's that experience like for someone, you know, for people out there listening who've heard about channeling and whatnot? Like, talk about that experience, how it comes out, and is there any specific message you can share with us, or a specific experience that you can share with us?
Wow. I mean, you know, when I started my channeling, it was all about my self healing, right?
Yeah.
Very, very important, because I asked many questions, and I think everyone perceives these beings as different. You know, for me, they have a massive sense of humor that I sometimes sit and chuckle, especially with the Ascended Master Saint Germain and Archangel Michael, because even though my messages in the book have a serious undertone, they take the mickey out of life. They really take the mickey out of life. They will refer to songs, to even Marvel characters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they do that. Star Wars is, you know.
So they utilize the physical world, the physical reality, you know, to project those messages. Wow. Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They do. And I mean, for me, it's very easy to communicate with them now. And, you know, as far as life, I mean, you're here to experience life in all its flavors and, you know, with all its flavors and dishes. But if you keep taking the chilies, you're going to have to keep sweating the chilies rather than choosing something different, right?
Yes.
So these are kind of analogies that they use. And they always say, why do you take life so seriously, right? Why do you take life so seriously? Yes, your soul is real, but your experiences are merely here to expand your awareness. Mm. They're not meant to keep you chained. Right? Keep you chained like a wrecking ball where you are. They're merely there to elevate you. And that's when we talk about that ascension part, where you ascend because you expand your awareness and you're like, hey, man, I got it. I finally got the experience, right? I'm letting it go. And I always say to people, you know, tell the other person that you love them and that you thank them for having been part of your life, but it's now time for you to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons people don't always understand, like, yeah, but my life is so crap, right? It's because you need to let go, because you're your own worst enemy. You're your own kink in the cable.
Yeah. I mean, and especially with societal conditioning and whatnot, like trying to live like that, you know, like the Ascended Masters are basically saying is like, look, don't take things so seriously. Go ahead and let go. There's no reason to be attached to any of this. Yet we feel like we're conditioned to think we have to have rules. We have to have rules. There has to be rules. There has to be boundaries. There has to be some type of structure put over us that we have to follow. So like breaking away from that is just so difficult through everything that we've just been indoctrinated with. But that's exactly right. When I'm most happiest, with the people I talk to, the people I'm around, when we're most happiest is when we just disconnect. Like right now we're, you know, me and I think it's a total of 11 other people are doing a social media and electronic cleanse right now. Like we're not on social media. We're not watching any TV except for high vibrational content on my platform, Akasha Flix, and just disconnecting completely and realizing, wow, like how you feel when you get rid of all that clutter, that stuff that truly doesn't matter. And it takes up so much of our time and space. I can't believe how many downloads I get now when I don't have all that other shit just clouding my energy circle.
Yeah. You know, I don't have a TV either. Chucked it out a long time ago.
Nice.
And I'm not a big social media fan. I know, you know, I have to be on there, but I will always put messages out there that I receive, you know. And it's just, you know, food. It's always, as I say, you know, we're here to plant this food for thought seed, right?
Right.
We're not here to change the world. We're here to change ourselves. We're here to understand ourselves. And by understanding ourselves and by changing ourselves, right, returning to our authentic nature, other people in turn will be inspired.
Yes.
And yeah. So I think it's great that you are on a detox, because many people listen to everything that goes on in the outer
right,
world.
Right, right.
And I always say this, well, Saint Germain always talks about this, that life is like, it's a cosmic game of evolution. And then you're thinking, well, wait a minute, if it's a cosmic game of evolution, what am I doing, you know? Why do I look at things so seriously, right? And why can't I forgive people? Why do I have these judgments? Why am I so bitter? Mm. And it's because we're stuck in this jungle called Earth. And we label our minds, you know, we archive everything, all our experiences, and we have certain triggers, trigger points when we meet people or something else happens to us, and we open the archives of our mind, and it's like, oh, well, you know what, this is how I'm going to react. But it's yeah, so I call it, they call it the cosmic game of evolution, and life is like this board game of life. It really is. Yeah, but then why are we here, right? Well, actually, you're here to remember who you are, right? And to return to a love of self and have that love for one another, right? Because you live so much in that separation, whereas you're not separate. You're part of the whole.
Part of the whole. All,
yeah. You know, our soul is the same. Our soul is the same. You know, our physical appearance may be different, but I'm sorry, we're all brothers and sisters of the light. There is no difference between any of us. I don't care what nationality you are.
Right. See,
and
right.
That is part of that divisive pie. Well, you're this nationality. You've got this religion. Mm-hmm. You're this, you're that. And every time it's like, and even your sexuality is like, oh my God, this apple pie, as I call it, gets divided more and more, and people get so confused.
Right.
And yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. We got a couple comments. First, I'll just call her Ryan because I know who it is. My wife. She says, how interesting. Thank you for sharing. She said she'd love to know more about channeling, and she thinks this is really interesting. I'll ask you this, because kind of where you like you said, you got introduced to channeling after the fourth relationship that you were in, right? And that, you said that was roughly almost 10 years ago. Like, after having, you know, your awakening, doing all these things, you know, getting to this point, from that point till now, like, have your relationships improved? Like, you know, have you had healthy relationships since then?
Yeah, it's just funny. So, I mean, I've been on my own since 2015 by choice, because I needed to work on the relationship with myself, right?
Nice.
And I think that was far more important. So, hey, heck yeah, I'm probably a born again virgin. Do I care? I don't.
That's beautiful.
Because I think it's, you know, I think it's, if you are in a loving relationship and you're on that same frequency, you sing from that same hymn sheet, that's great. And you lift one another up, that's great, right? But if you don't sing from that same hymn sheet, and you're like a bunch of screeching cats, then just get out, because you've got to love yourself, right? Self-love is a necessity. And I hated myself. And then that's one of the reasons I starved myself for many, many, many years. And so I had to learn to love myself.
Nah.
And that was a process. It was a process. But I'm now in a place where I'm like, you know what it is? I'm so set in my ways, and I love my life, that it's like, right now I just don't have any space for anybody. But
that's a key point, because like what I tell everybody when I talk about love, relationships, and all that, is like you talked about, you have to love yourself first. But it changes the dynamic of things, because like we've been taught to look for love. Like, I need to find love. No, when you love yourself first, you don't look for love. You just look for someone to share your love with. It's a completely different dynamic. So like for you to say that you're comfortable in your space, you're happy in your world, you love yourself, you know your worth, like you don't have to look for love. Now you might go walk to the coffee shop or something and someone may enter and then all of a sudden your world changes, but you don't have to look for it. It could just naturally and organically come into your life because you're not looking for love. You're looking to share space with, you know, if that comes about, you know what I mean? It's a completely different dynamic.
Yeah. And you know what has also happened? It's like, sometimes, I mean, when it's my energy, but sometimes somebody will come along or they'll ask, hey, Birgitta, do you want to go out? And I'm like, no, thank you, because I'm not interested, because I'm very honest like that now, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's changed as well.
Yeah, protective of your energy. Like it is.
Yeah. And the other thing I don't have anymore is that fear label and that shame label. That's completely gone.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. Becoming authentically me. First off, I have to say, I absolutely love the title. Like, amazing title. I teach in a QE Academy here in America with a podcast that's called Authenticate Yourself. It is all about authenticity and the throat chakra and, yep, you know, just being your authentic self, speaking authentically and whatnot. So when I saw that title, I was like, oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So walk us through the process of writing this book. I'm in the process of trying writing a book. So I'm always interested in what your process is, how long it took you, and all that good stuff too.
You want to know how long it took me?
Yeah.
22 years.
Oh, that's amazing. That is awesome.
It's but you know, I mean, I had written something back in 2000, which was part of my life, and it was kind of a journaling thing. So when we're locked down, because I always say Earth is like, you know, Earth is Terra, and we live in a terrarium in this glass box, right? When we were shut down in this glass box.
Yes.
It was like, you know, I walk a journey inward, and they were really like, you know, you need to finish writing this. So I wrote it in between 2 years. I wrote it in between my very busy job. And I mean, it was so much channeling. And, you know, I touch on many things. I touch about on the beginnings of the earth, about why COVID happened, the agenda. But it's seen from the point of the many masters, and especially the Council of Ra. And so they're very open about it, because, you know, people think, oh, they're so, this is the thing, fear, right? When you pump fear into people, they get scared, you know. Fear, right, is how you control the people, how you control the masses. And the same with that conditioning, programming, TV. Oh, you know, this is what we're going to broadcast. And there's one thing I will say, I will say this. COVID, right? The Ascended Master Saint Germain breaks it up, and he says, do you know what it means? It means CO, right? Your cooperation is required, right? It's going across the 10. And you remember when you were in high school, you had these, what do you call these, megaphones in the hallways?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he said, so your cooperation is required to watch these vid, you know, the abbreviation for videos.
Uh-huh.
Watch these videos to reprogram your mind, you know, and to live in that fear. And it's actually people have started to think, right? There is a part of humanity that still fears it, because they don't realize they're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Right.
Many people think they're this organic blob of material, right?
Right.
As Hilarion, the Ascended Master Hilarion, calls it compost. But no, your energy, you're an alchemist. You can create whatever you want. If you want to get better, then you can heal up, because you're that, your energy. And we've deviated so much away. So it's learning. It's really about, it's not really relearning, it's recovering who you are, right? And so this whole, everything that's been going on serves as an awakening, And so I always say, as they put it, it's like a big, this movie reel that they thought was going to play out. Well, it's bombed in their faces, right? And all these people in power are receiving the biggest honor of all, and that's a raspberry, because people are waking up, and that wasn't meant to happen.
Right, right. They don't realize that the light always wins. And
oh, absolutely, absolutely. But
go ahead.
But you know, when you say about the light, so light versus darkness, so that's that duality. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have that duality, how could we ever evolve?
Exactly, exactly. And that's in every aspect of our life. Like everything that I philosophize and talk about is always based on duality, because at the end of the day, we always have a conscious choice, always, in everything we do, whether it's, if I'm going to put these socks on or those socks on in the morning, you know, everything is a conscious choice. And with the whole COVID situation, I mean, there's spiritual warfare going on as we speak, you know,
absolutely.
And the more we understand that, the more we're aware of that, and the better off we'll all be. And I think people like you, this book, what you're doing, what all of us light workers are doing, is we're sharing it, and more people are absorbing this. You know, we're in that age right now, that age of information, that age of Aquarius, you know, where like more people are interested in this. And I say this all the time, there are more of us than them. And yes, once we absolutely understand that power, then there's no way that anything can stop us from ultimately, you know, ascending to where we need to go.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's one thing that, because you're in America, and well, this is in my book as well, because I introduced the Ascended Master Saint Germain, who I work with a lot, actually. And he's lived many past lifetimes, including Columbus. You know, he was the savage Columbus. And I don't think he was a nice person, because he wasn't. And there's things in there that he channeled that I was like, oh, okay, great. So people will learn a lot about him. But So I just want to hit on something about the age of Aquarius, right? Because we are in the age of Aquarius. And the age of Aquarius, it's quite funny because it's derived from Latin. Right, as you know, it is the age of transformation, and it's what I call it means from Latin. It means the age of water rivers, so the age of rivers. So where we're forced to look into the mirror, right, and heal up these wobbly shadow sides that reside within us, knowing that we have to take responsibility. And it's about empowering ourselves, right? Because we've been disempowered. And so we flow back to the rivers of, you know, we flow back through these rivers of consciousness, back to the authentic nature of who we truly are. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful. I always say we live in such amazing times.
Oh, yes, you know? For sure. Yes, yes. And, you know, we chose to be around at this time. You know,
I know, right? So, the sooner you get that, you get with the program, you're like, you know what? I chose this life. So if I want to change my life, then I've got to change with a thought in my head and start, you know, doing something different and healing up.
Yes, 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 yes. That's awesome. That's amazing. Also, you talk about the Anunnaki and the Garden of Eden. I'm always been interested in the Anunnaki. There's so many other theories and whatnot. I'd be interested to hear just, you know, I don't want you to obviously divulge the entire book or what's in the book, but, you know, a quick little tidbit about the Anunnaki and kind of your experience with them.
I love them. I love them. I really, really do. They are, I will say a few things because, you know, to me, many of the archangels have been Anunnaki, and they have transcended that consciousness. And because if we talk about, and this is funny, this is in my chapter in the Anunnaki, where Archangel Raphael, I call him Rafa, talks about what archangel means. Now, everything is always a wordplay on senses, but we've been so dumbed down, right, that we don't often see it. But when you break up the word archangel, right, you get arc, an arc, A-R-C, which is a spacecraft. It's a craft. And then angels, right, or the ancient right. heavens, but angels are celestial beings of the heavens. So they're star seeds. And they lived billions of years ago. I'm not saying all of them incarnated as Anunnaki, not at all. Oh, my Archangel Michael did, and Samuel did, right? Who you know it, Lucifer. But Enki and Enlil, well, they were brothers who were fighting. But I mean, Enlil was Michael, and Enki was Samuel. But Lucifer's builder of civilizations, he's just been hacked to pieces, so to speak, in the Bible, and they tear it apart completely.
Right.
And because religion is, and it doesn't matter what you choose to believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Religion is control. It's control.
Yep.
Right? It's to keep the masses in control. You have to follow a doctrine. You have to follow rules. And God is love, right? You are God. You are part of Creator,
mm-hmm.
right? Love is your divine nature. But when I was out in India in the Art of Living Center, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar said to me, he's like, well, the banana peel are all the religions of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
The banana itself, the fruit, is spirituality.
I love it.
But it doesn't matter what you believe. Ultimately, you know, if you believe in religion, that's okay. Ultimately, you may believe something else.
Right.
But there is no right or wrong in what you choose to believe or how you choose to experience life. There really is no right or wrong. It's merely the human mentality that says you can't live your life this way or you can't do this.
Yep. Those boundaries they want to put around you and whatnot. So you've been a lot. I just talking to you for this past, not quite an hour yet, but you've been a lot of places.
Yes, I have. I guess I needed to go to a lot of places.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. That is part of my, you know, one of my goals, and me and my wife, we want to travel. That's one thing we haven't been able to do yet. But it is coming soon. To take what we do and travel outside of America, because everything we've done is inside of America. And there's just such a big world. And I relate to so many people that live in other countries. We've even talked about moving to another country. Because in America, there's, while it's the quote unquote land of the free, if you want to believe that, which they do have some freedoms. I'm not saying they don't have any freedoms. But you want to talk about just the societal division and indoctrination that goes on here. It's a cauldron of just bad energy. Let's put it that way. And, anytime we speak to people that are from other places, we notice that more often than not all the time, but they are more aware of what this is about compared to people in America.
So, you know, I wrote this down, right? It says, can you see that?
Yes, America.
America.
Right.
So what happens when you change the letters around?
Oh,
right?
I'm interested.
Yeah, that's the one thing I trailed off. That's the one thing that Shane's your main. That's in my book. And then you're going to see, oh, now I get it. Right. So I changed the letters around. What do you get?
I am race.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
So America is the I am race, which means that they're the forerunners of the new golden age. Now, Saint Germain says nothing is set in stone, of course, but it has come from the southern tip up. It's just people are a little bit slow in awakening because there's never a time frame. Some people say, oh, are we done by 2023? Well, hello. It's up to you guys. It's up to humanity to evolve. We're going to do it for you. Because people always think, and the many masters up there say, you know what? We are not here to help you in that sand. We can give you the messages, but we're not going to give you everything on a silver platter. You've chosen to incarnate. You've chosen to help Mother Earth ascend, right? Or a rebirth into that new golden age. So, you know, get going with the program.
Wow. I love it. I love it. That's great stuff. I am race. Oh, yeah. I'm going to use that. I'm going to credit you, but I am going to use that.
For sure. No, definitely. Yeah.
Is there a place that you haven't been yet that you want to go?
Yeah, I want to go.
Besides like Mars or something?
But you know what? You know, Mars was a beautiful planet once, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it was.
Oh, yeah. It's the same like Antarctica. Antarctica was once a beautiful place.
Oh, I bet.
Look at it now and look what goes on beneath the surface, because it's a portal. And
oh, I agree. And there's a reason. There's a reason that it's, you know, protected by the militaries with the Antarctic Treaty. Because they don't want us to go there.
No, there's a lot. You don't see anything on the surface, but beneath. And let's not talk about the beings that are held there as well and everything. Mm. Just there's so much. If you were to turn the earth inside out, oh, look at all that drops out.
Interesting. So now that you bring that up, like, what are your thoughts on, okay, so the space, this, you know, the different space systems of the world tell us we live on this globe and it's with the core and there's nothing else besides what's on the surface. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow, very superficial, right?
Right.
Right. Oh my gosh, you have Middle Earth. I call it Middle Earth, but you call it my gosh, a bull. I always talk about it, but so there are many, many different beings, and there are many, you know, I mean, Antarctica shut off, so you can't enter through there, but you can enter through Mount Shasta, right? Mm. There are certain portals in Tibet, but it's not for humanity to, I mean, humanity still live too much in the ego tripping self, so to speak, right? They're not ready for that kind of information. But there are many different planets, many different, I mean, you've got the usual ones, the Pleiadians, the Sirians, you know, the Arcturians, those from Cygnus. And I mean, there are more beings than the hairs on your head. Honestly, it is so vast. And we think we're the only species on Earth. You've got to be kidding. That's arrogant.
But see, that's the ego, right? That's the ego that we're attached to.
That's the ego, and that means you eject God out, right? Because you've unplugged from the power source, and what you need to do is ditch the ego, right? Ooh. And plug back into that power source.
Eject God out. I like it. Yeah. Nice.
And people say, well, how can you say that you're God? Of course you are. You are a creator, right? The creator created you. Actually, that's not true, because the Anunnaki created humanity, but there were also other species that injected their DNA. It's amazing. I think it's amazing how species were created.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's why, you know, people, you gotta read outside of the texts that they give you or whatnot. Not that there's anything wrong with, there's a lot of information in those texts, but there are also other books that they don't want you to read. One, you know, I love the Book of Enoch. I think that's a, you know, amazing book. And there's plenty others. And you know, in each culture, I just advise everybody, I mean, if you're interested in this stuff, obviously, to just to dig a little deeper. That's all.
Yeah, and everyone carries a little piece. I'm not all knowing. I carry like you and many others. We carry a piece of the puzzle to life. And whatever you choose to accept, you accept. Whatever resonates with you, resonates with you. And if it doesn't, you put it next to you.
Nice, nice. Awesome. Okay. So you got you have your book, Becoming Authentically Me. And you can get that on your website, right? PowerSoulHealing.com.
You can get it on Amazon. It's available on Amazon now.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Amazon. And when you get it, make sure you leave a review, everybody out there. I'm looking forward to reading it myself. I make a point that every person I've on the podcast who's written a book, I make sure that I buy the book, read it, and definitely I will leave you a review. What else? Kind of let everyone else know how they can get a hold of you, what else you offer, things like that.
Yeah, so they can get a hold of me through my website, powersoulhealing.com. I'm also on Facebook under Universal Light Warriors. And I'm also on Instagram. I don't do too much with it, though. But and I do, because I'm constantly developing myself. So I've kept part of this on the down low, but I do speak light language now. And people are like, wait, what is light language? So that's galactic healing, right?
Yeah.
Where I speak funny language or durable language, galactic language. And it's not on a conscious level that you understand it, but it's on a soul level that you understand it. And, you know, that's how you heal, because your soul understands it and chooses to heal. And I'm doing a course with the Antara Jiro on playing the alchemy bowls, which is so powerful, which I really, really love. And so that's kind of what I do now. And I don't do my old stuff anymore, like Reiki and all that, because, you know, we develop and we move on, we progress.
For sure.
So that was at one point in my life. There was one thing that I keep bugging me about. So that's Michael. And I sometimes call him Mikey Mike. But
Mikey Mike, what's going
Mikey
on?
Mike. Mikey Mike,
yes.
So he's like, forget it, please don't forget to tell them. So I talk a lot about, I talk about addiction, I talk about and mental health and depression as well. So he's highlighting on depression right now. And he's very long-winded sometimes, you know, because he wants to get his point across.
Yeah.
But he did say when it comes to depression, he's like, you can sum it up. He's like, you can sum it up in several words. And that is, you've shot your mind to hell, right? Because that's what it is, because you think and think and think and think so much. And that's what you do. You know.
Yeah, you're stuck in that left brain and just analytical judgment. Everything that the world just throws at you is just convoluted in there, and you're just, you can't get out of it.
No,
well, I mean, you can, you just don't know how to get out of it, basically. Wow. Well, I'm looking at this. I mean, you've got so many things going on, so many things on your website, you know, from like aromatherapy recipes for people.
Yes.
Obviously, aroma touch, aromatherapy, soul empowerment readings, crystal frequency healing. That's awesome. So everybody out there, make sure you go to powersoulhealing.com. If you're watching on the replay, it'll be in the description. You can check that out for sure. And definitely make sure you buy her book, Becoming Authentically Me. I know it took you 22 years, but is there another book on the horizon, you think? Or what do you think?
Yeah, there is. I have started it. It is so it's kind of different. This is has to do with my time in India. When I was at the Art of Living Center, which is back in 2009,
okay.
But it's infused with, so I really wanted to immerse in the Indian culture because I am part Indian. You wouldn't see it in me, but I am. I'm a mutt. You know?
Interesting. Yeah. I think I know I have some Indian in me as well.
Yeah. So it's, I speak to a lot of the Indian deities, you know. So Krishna, Shiva, and many others. And they also have a sense of humor. And people always think like Krishna, right? Yeah, but Krishna was Arthurian. Why do you think he's depicted as blue, right? Osiris. Osiris is one of the more serious ones.
Yeah.
He's from Sirius because he's been depicted as green. See, everything is like, it's right in front of you.
Yes.
It's right, and you just don't see it.
Yep. That's that. And we don't learn this stuff. You know, it's just, it's one of those things, like, you know, the knowledge is there, the people that know it is there. And some of the things are extremely blatant, but they're covered up by so much fluff, you know, that kind of push this stuff to the side and call it taboo or, you know, a cult as if that's a bad thing. And, you know, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, it is.
The last thing before we shut it down, for anybody out there who might be interested in channeling, how would you like guide them to start that journey? Obviously meditation is a must. That's a big part of it. But like, if somebody's meditating and they want to channel, is it based a lot on the intention of the channeling? Is there any other tips you can give to get somebody started?
So this is how, I mean, everyone can do it differently, but this is what worked for me.
Okay.
Where I said, you know, first of all, you sit, right? Yeah, you meditate. Or you can listen to 432 Hertz meditations, which is something that gets you rebalanced and centered. I think it's very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I do my breathing techniques are so important.
Okay.
Right? They're very important for meditation. But what I also used to do is I have my card decks, right? So whether it's the archangels or it's just a mixture of deities. And I used to pick a card and I would sit and then state, okay, I'm ready to receive. Do you, whichever archangel it is, do you have a message for me? You know, because it's, and then you would just start writing. And people said, yeah, but how, it's not my mind, my analytical mind. Because you put that aside, right?
Mm.
So it's like when you say divine or divine inspiration, well, what is the first thing that you get, right? Without thinking, you shouldn't think about it. Because sometimes when you hold a book or you hold anything or anything, you will get a thought that crosses your mind, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's the exact same with this, where you just sit and you say, you know what? I'm ready to receive. And if you do this every day, for maybe like 15 minutes, right? You cultivate that relationship with the light beings, with that collective, because I'm not special, right? Everyone has this ability. And it's merely that you need to sit down for it. And they're always ready to work with you. All of them are ready to work with you. If you are willing to put in the work.
Gotcha. Right? Gotcha. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. That's awesome. For everybody out there who's interested in learning how to channel, that's a tremendous way to start. I just want to thank you for, number one, you know, coming on this podcast, but mostly for everything you do for the world. You know, like you said, each one of us, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when we find ourselves and we become more aware and we realize that we are God, you know, all that does is help the collective consciousness of the entire planet, you know. Yeah. So thank you for all the knowledge you shared. Everybody, go by Becoming Authentically Me. All right. I'll have a link in the description. I appreciate everyone who watched live on Twitch and everyone watching on the replay. If you're listening to the audio, the video version is available on our streaming platform, Akasha Flix. Now, Akasha Flix has everything from educational videos, spiritual guidance, exclusive podcasts with conscious conversation of over 270 videos with new content that comes out every week. It's kind of set up like Netflix, but you know, it's really based on the healers and the creators and the teachers that we have and what they want to share to the world. So check that out at www.akashaflix.com. And do you have any last words for us, B?
I don't have any last words. I'm just going to say, like I've always said, you've got to remember, not to take life too seriously, but to really live your life and not allow yourself to be lived. Right? I think that's the most important thing, and that you look in the mirror and that you return, that you tell yourself that you love yourself, love your experiences, you know, hug that, you know, whatever you go through, hug it out with yourself and return to that loving nature of self. Because honestly, your life will get so much better if you stop hanging on to your experiences.
For sure. For sure. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. You got to come back on. You got to come back on the show on a future date. We'd love to have you back on.
I loved it.
Okay, cool. All right, everybody. We are out of here. Thank you for listening and watching Minds Like Minds podcast.